Great word. Oh, man, what worship. Folks, we are, we're going somewhere in our worship. We are going somewhere in our worship, and it's not about us. I hope you know that. You see, you hear it all the time, church. Worship is a direction that is towards heaven, and worship is a direction towards Him. In a sense of it's about Him, and it's to give praise to Him, and it's to celebrate Him, and it's to honor Him. And man, we're just, there's just so much that we're recognizing in worship, and we're in such an incredible season in our worship. Such an amazing season. I'm so blessed that you're here this morning. And this is the last message in the Just Like series. Next week we start, I wanted to go a little longer, but we've got Easter coming up, and Easter's coming up. And well, let's just watch these guys do what they do, because it's great. I am trying to make it awkward. It's awesome.
We're just packing up and leaving.
Love you, Todd. Nice. But we're going to finish up the Just Like series today, and then next couple weeks we're going to go into another two-word deal called be diligent. And what does that look like when the scripture tells us there are areas in our lives that we are called to be intense? We're called to, the word diligent, it means to be intense with an intensity. And I can't wait for that. I wanted that to be a little longer, but probably not going to be, because Easter came early this year and we're going to get ready for Easter. And I am got a little sniffle. That's why I didn't come out. I'm a hugger and a handshaker. I'm an elbow guy today. I'm giving elbows out today because I respect your health, and I don't want, and it's just not like a fever, nothing like that, just a sniffle. I'm drinking my coffee because I think coffee's good for you. Probably not, but that I don't care because I love coffee more than that. So, anyways, that's just health. Thanks, beautiful. That just brings health to all life and living is the Steelers. Come on. But today we finish this up, and it's going to be a message. It's going to be a word where, honestly, we walk out of this place. I want us to feel like we can walk through a wall because we're built up and encouraged and strengthened by what the Bible says, to have a confidence, in who you are and have a confidence in your righteousness. It's a big deal that you and I are called to be bold. And you and I are called to have a confidence. And then I love this today because I think that sometimes Christians shy away, and I think sometimes believers go into that thing of being humble, which means weak. And that absolutely isn't what that means in any way, shape, or form. We're called to be confident. We're called to be bold. We're called to be unashamed. We're called to be upfront. And that's what we're called to be. And this is what today is all about, to close out the series. And just like, man, if you would turn with me to three places, please. Proverbs 28. We're going to go into Proverbs 28. We're going to go into Genesis 6. And then we're going to, hopefully, we're going to have time. We're going to get into Acts. We're hoping so. So let's get into this thing. Man, I just want to ask God to move, that we're not here just to play church. You know this. We're here because we're here on Sunday. We don't want to be the same on Monday. A legit change in my spirit, a legit change in my soul, and a legit change in my direction. Maybe it's just a healthy direction of growing closer to Him, hearing more about Him, walking in a sense of a boldness to show up, whatever that looks like for you, man. I'm telling you, studying this has even done more to my spirit and my soul to be stronger in the study of this, man. I'm pumped about this. So let's just pray. We'll get into this. Father, thank you for your word. It is alive and powerful. Father, speak to us today by your spirit in this house. God, that we came in to hear from you, that you would speak to us, that we walk out different from when we came in this place. We have an expectation here today to hear from you by your word. God, speak into our spirits today, and we won't be the same. Can't be the same, God. And we thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for our time of celebration of you in this place. You so rightfully deserved to be celebrated, honored, and adored, and lifted high in this place. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, Father, for this place. Thank you for these people. Speak to us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Funny story. Me and one of my sons, I won't tell you which one, but it's the oldest one. As we won't say our kids' names too often, but it's the older kid that I have. And we're driving somewhere, and we're listening to a podcast, and he loves these music drummer type things, and he studies that, and he listened to it. And I asked the guy, I asked my son, oldest son, I said, how old is this guy who's given this interview? And he says, oh, Dad, he's old. Oh, mind you, when I think old, I'm thinking 70, 75, 80, like old. Well, he sounds young, though. I'm like, okay, well, how old is he? He's in his 40s, Dad. I'm like, come on. I'm like, son, I opened the door and kicked him out as I was driving and thought that was appropriate as we drove. But I just thought that was funny this week. Funny things. I'm like, oh, Dad, he's old. How old? Hey, he's in his 40s. Come on, son, I'm in my 40s. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say that. Come on, let's look at this. Proverbs 28, verse 1. This is a great, great verse, and I love where it applies to a specific group. We're going to talk about two words this morning. We're going to do a word study biblically about two words this morning. And look what it says. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. This is talking about not so much the wicked are always scared. It's talking about a person's conscience when they're against God. They're looking over their shoulder. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing. But look what we see. But the righteous are bold like a lion. But the righteous are bold like a lion. We're going to look at the word righteous, and what does this look like? And we're going to look at the word bold. If we're walking in a place of being righteous, this is a huge word. You know it from Old Testament to New Testament. It's something that carries its weight throughout all of Scripture from the beginning to the end. It carries its weight to it. And it's a deep word that really has a simple meaning. When you say righteous, the righteous, those who were right, watch this now, watch this. Those who were right according to what God says is right. It's that simple. The righteous are confident. The word boldness, it means confident or sure as a lion. There is a confidence that a lion carries, and there is a confidence that one who knows that they're right. How can you come to a place and say, I know that I'm right on this? I'm not concerned about my emotion. I'm not running from my feelings. I'm not looking at popular view. I'm not looking at public view. I'm not looking at family view. I'm not looking at teacher's view. I know that I'm right for one reason, because God said it was right. And only because God says something is right, then I can bank on being right. And that's what a righteous man will do. I'm not right because I say I'm right. I'm not right because it falls in line with popular opinion. I'm not right because of public opinion. I'm not right because of family opinion. I'm only right, and I can bank on being confident that I'm right only because God already said that this is right. And righteous man is one who is right according to what God says is right, or another way to put it is according to God's standards. What's God's standards? What does God say is right? And when you come in line, not with popular view, not with public view, not opinion, not what teachers say, not what this says, not what family says, not what your feelings say, not what your emotions say. When you come in line to what God says, then you can know that you're right. And I love this because the Bible is very clear that the righteous, I love this because there is something that is attached to the righteous. There is something that comes along. We're going to see it in Scripture. There's something that comes along with those who know that they're right, not because of them, but because they're falling in line with what God said is right. There's a confidence or a boldness that comes with that. There is a surety that comes with that. I am sure, or I am confident, or I am bold in this area, not because of me or my emotions or my feelings, but because this is what God said. And in that, I know that it's right. That this is what this means. Righteousness and boldness. We have this confidence in us because we're walking right with God. We have this confidence in us because we believe what God said is right. Therefore, it's right. And I know it's right. I'm going to say that it's right because God said it right. And it has nothing to do with my opinion, my feelings, or my ideas. It's only because God said it's right. And that I can be confident in. And that brings me boldness. I want to show you an example of righteousness. Turn with me to Genesis 6, please. Genesis 6. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. You can figure that one out. Genesis 6. This is an amazing part of Scripture. I've been studying Noah. I've been going deep into Noah, just refreshing myself again. I love the characters of Scripture. I love to look into the Bible. I love to restudy different characters. I've kind of been stuck on Noah for a little bit, and I'm looking into this, and you land in Genesis 6. And this is huge, because when you see the reality of Genesis 6, this is a complete, total game changer for everything. Genesis 6, 7, and 8 is a game changer for all of the earth. It's a game changer for all of creation. This is what Genesis 6, 7, and 8, right in the very beginning, well, in Genesis, this is about, just so you know, this is about a 1600 plus time period from Adam to Noah. That is a long time. That's a lot of years between Adam, first man, to where Noah was in his day. There are Bible scholars that believe there possibly could have been hundreds of millions of people. Some scholars believe maybe even in the billions. That is 1,600 years of reproduction. That is a lot of people. That is a lot of people. And you got to put yourself in this story. This is a true story, not a fairy tale. Absolutely true. Absolutely happened. This took place. And when you begin to break down, again, we're looking at the word righteousness. The righteous will be bold as a lion. And man, I landed on Noah, and I look at this in Genesis 6, verse 5. It says this: Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I think verse 6 possibly could be one of the saddest verses in Scripture. I equate it with Matthew 7. Where Jesus is saying, depart from me, for I never knew you. There absolutely is a day of reckoning. There is going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be that moment before God and Christ that either you're in or you're out based on your belief. I think you look at Matthew 7, I don't know if there's anything really that could be sadder than Jesus looking at you face to face and just say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And that is the last thing that you hear. And I look in Genesis 6, verse 6, and this is difficult, man. This is sad. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The word grieved here is a deep word, and it means painfully emotional. That his emotions were at a place of being deep, deeply hurt. You see, in the beginning when he created Adam and Eve, man, he created us in the garden in perfection to walk in fellowship with him, to walk in this amazing relationship with him, to walk and talk. And then man showed up in sin, and sin screwed everything up and broke that fellowship with God. And then everything downhill from there. Even to a point, could you imagine that he says this: the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was deeply emotionally hurt in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man to animals, to creeping things, to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry, watch this, I am sorry that I even made them. What? That it became so bad that God became sorry that he even created mankind. And you see these amazing two words in verse 8, and it says this: But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So you're telling me that every single person on the planet, up to hundreds of millions and beyond, every one of them were wicked. And every one of them walked with a heart that was so self-centered and only for them. But Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Watch why. Look at this. Here it is. Watch. These are the records of the genealogies, generations of Noah, verse 9. For Noah was a righteous man. The righteous, watch this now, the righteous are confident. The righteous are bold like a lion. For why was it that in all of mankind, in all of the history of man, there was one man who God saw? Out of all the millions and millions, there was one man that God saw that said, but him, this one is different. This one stands out. This one is a righteous man. This one is blameless. This one walked with God. He was a righteous man. He was blameless in his ways, and he walked with God. He was innocent in his ways. He walked in a way that everyone else didn't walk. He walked in fellowship with God. What it means, he walked with God, is talking about a relationship, a fellowship with God, that he walked with God. He had this relationship with God. He understood the reverence of God. He understood what it was to fear God. He understood God's power and authority, and he understood what it was to go by what God said is right. Because we see in 2 Peter, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was the one man who would go around amongst every other person on the planet to say, no, God said this is right. No, what you're doing is wrong. Well, how do you know what I'm doing is wrong? How are you the judge? Well, how can you? No, listen, I'm not the judge. I can't say anything about what I think is right or wrong. This is what God says is right. And you're not doing right because God says this is right. Man, the Bible says that he was a preacher. He was a spokesperson to what God said was right. Could you imagine that? Going to every person that you know, and you're the only one. Church, listen, I love this. We probably have 300 plus, probably 350 strong in probably this service alone, right? So we're already way above and beyond anything that Noah had as a support system. He was literally one over a million. So you can't tell me, wow, the public pressure's tough. Public opinion's overwhelming. Sean, you don't know what the schools are teaching. You don't know, and we could go down a whole line, and then my heart lands on Noah. Well, God saw one man amongst every single person on the earth. And that he spoke truth. Because he was a preacher of righteousness. No, this is what God says is right. No, this is what God says is right. No, I'm telling you, look it. This is what God says is right. Well, there was this confidence and there was this boldness of him standing alone to speak truth. Could you imagine the ridicule? Could you imagine the pain? Could you imagine the people, every person coming against him? Could you listen to this? I think about this. I'm one who loves to be effective. I love to be effective. I work hard. We study hard. We pray hard. We try to pitch the vision of this place, and we work towards that vision of this place. Man, we work. I couldn't imagine working so hard, believing God to move in such a way, and have not one person come to church ever. Church, he didn't have one convert. He didn't have one person. Not one turn their heart to God. Could you stop on that for a minute? Could you bank on that? But did it change anything about who he was before the Lord? Knowing that I can't do for others. I can't make decisions for others. But I need to stand in a place to know that I'm right only because I know God's right. And if no one else follows, and if no one else turns, and if I have to stand alone, I will stand with a confidence and I will stand with a boldness. This is Noah. This is where he was. And dads in this place, can I just share one verse with you in regards to righteousness, and then we'll get in to look at Peter and John and Acts and look at the confidence. But Proverbs 20, verse 7 is a great, powerful, powerful verse. A righteous man who walks in his integrity. Watch this. A righteous man. Here's the word again. A righteous man. A man who is right according to what God has said is right. A man who stands in righteousness, not his opinion, not his thoughts, not his emotions, not his feelings, not popular view, not public view. A man in his house. Listen. A man who is righteous. A righteous man. Not according to anything else, according to God's standard of right. A righteous man who walks in his integrity. Look at the fruit to righteousness. How blessed are his sons after him. I love that. How blessed are his sons after. Listen. Dads, are we walking in a sense in our home to portray righteousness? And listen, there is fruit to righteousness. You come back to a place to think about Noah. Do you realize that you and I are the fruit to his righteousness? If Noah did not walk in righteousness, if Noah wasn't found innocent, if Noah didn't walk with God, if Noah was just like, hear this, if Noah was just like everybody else, God would have wiped out all humanity, and we have no hint that he'd have started over. Do you realize that when you get the understanding that there is a seriousness that you and I do right according to what God says is right. There's a seriousness that you and I stand firm in our righteousness. This is what God said is right. And in that, I'm going to stand firm to what God said is right because it matters to my sons after me. It matters to my daughters after me. It matters that my daughters would marry a man that stands in his righteousness before God because we've demonstrated that to our daughters. We've demonstrated that to our sons that they would walk in blessing. Why? Because a righteous man who walks with integrity, how blessed are his sons after that. That is God's word for us. Church, that's a good place to say amen. Come on again.
Amen.
I'm preaching up here. I need a little bit of love today. Duke. But it's serious. Righteousness is a real deal. It's serious. It saved all of mankind. And when I know that I'm right, only because God said it's right, then there's a boldness. And there's a confidence that should just well up in our souls and should well up in our spirits. A righteous man who walks with integrity. There's fruit to that, church. How blessed are his sons after him. And I love having a daughter. I love that my daughter would see, listen, dad's not perfect, no way, but see that my heart is to thrive after that which God says is right. And to find a man one day that would do the same to cover their kids. It's a big deal. Come on, Acts 3, please. We got to cruise. Come on, Acts 3. Thank you for bringing your Bibles. Please bring your Bibles. I love the Word of God. Man, we're a worship and word church on purpose. Man, the Word is it. It is the truth, and it is life. And Acts 3 is an amazing story. It's this amazing picture of confidence in action, right? It's an amazing picture of Peter and John who walked with such boldness, who walked with such confidence. So here we have the understanding of what righteousness looks like, and there's fruit to righteousness. And when the Bible says that the righteous are bold like a lion, and you understand, what is a great picture of confidence? You could go to, there's so many things that came on my heart studying this. You could go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, there's so many places that people just stood in the face of absolute crazy and said, nope. It's God. Nope. I'm going to follow God. Nope. I'm not going to bow. Nope. I mean, we could just go down the whole list of people. But then I landed on Acts 3 because it's a New Testament story that totally includes Jesus Christ. And you see Peter and John, and you see this picture in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, that they're on their way to the temple, right? That they're starting to go in. It's a prayer meeting. They're going to the temple to pray. And there's this man who's sitting at the temple gate, and he's begging. The Bible says he was a man. He was probably an old man in his 40s, I'm guessing, right? Took you a minute, but that's good. But his body has been broken or lame since birth. And this is what he does now. This is his life. And he sits by the temple gate, and he shakes a can or whatever he does to get attention for begging for alms. And Peter and John come walking through. And they look at him. His head has to be down because they said, look at us. Hey, focus. Hey, look at us. So you imagine he has to lift up his eyes, and they say, listen, I don't have any money for you, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, walk. And his whatever was broken, whatever was messed up, whatever was misaligned, whatever the lameness was from birth, this man all of a sudden, for the first time ever, could stand on his own two feet, and he just begins to celebrate, and he begins to just go crazy in a sense of, wow, this just happened. And Jesus, the Bible says he's just dancing and leaping and going crazy, celebrating what they just did in Jesus' name. And then all of a sudden, could you imagine? You'd think that people would be throwing a party. You'd think that people would be celebrating with him. But the Jews and the higher-ups and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they started coming against Peter and John. So much so that they gathered around Peter and John. And look at this. I love this boldness. Look at this. Chapter 3. Verse 13, this is Peter and John speaking. They says this. This is Peter speaking. He says this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Watch this. Whom you delivered and disowned. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine? They've walked through, they've seen the persecution of Jesus, they've seen Jesus crucified, they've seen the battles, but they know that Jesus Christ is absolutely the King. He's the Lord. They know that he's been resurrected. They know that he's alive. And in that, there's this confidence that comes. Because why? Because why? They know that they're right. And they come with such boldness and they say this: the one whom you delivered and disowned. The word disowned, it means to deny or to reject. The one that you disowned in the presence of Pilate, when he decided to release him. Remember, do you remember that moment? Could you imagine Peter in his aggression? Do you remember that moment that Pilate was about to release Jesus, but you, the crowd, you began to say, crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Do you remember? It's amazing that Peter is bringing it right back to that moment. This is the moment he's talking about. Remember before Pilate, when he was about to release Jesus, and all of a sudden all you people began to scream out, crucify him. Give us Barabbas instead. You disowned him in that. You denied him in that. You rejected him in that. I love it because the Bible tells us this in John 1:11. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Luke 19 gives us this amazing picture of Jesus coming in over the hill. He's coming down in Jerusalem. He's about to go to the cross. He knows that they're celebrating him. This is the beginning of the weekend. They're celebrating him. They're throwing their coats on the ground and coats on the donkey, and they're just throwing palm trees. It's just amazing. It's an incredible celebration. Well, what's Jesus doing on the donkey, man? He is weeping. He is crying severely because he comes in, and the Bible says they didn't recognize the day of his visitation. Jesus knew it. Peter and John are like, this was you. You did this. You rejected your king. You disowned him. You called for a murderer instead of him. Talk about boldness. Verse 14, you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for murder to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life and the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. How could they be so bold? Because it's a fact. We know that he is exactly who he said he is. We know that he is the risen Savior. We know everything that he said that we didn't understand when he was talking about it. It's absolutely true. And we know that it's a fact that he showed himself to over 500 people. You've heard the stories. Maybe you saw them yourself. And maybe you just completely, continually want to reject the things that are true. We know. Listen. When you know you're right, according to what God says is right, there should be this boldness and this confidence that reigns and bubbles up within. This is where they were. It was a fact that he came alive. And I love this here. Just, we got to get to a point here. So what happens? They arrest these guys. The scribes and the Pharisees, they send out soldiers, they arrest them. Was there a major protest? Were these guys being violent? Were these guys putting posters around? Did they have bumper stickers on their donkey's rear ends? I mean, what really, how bad was it? What did Peter and John do that was so bad that needed to be arrested? They healed a man in Jesus' name. That's all they did. They used the name of Jesus, and at this point was so persecuted. So persecuted. Watch this. They get freed and go before a type of a trial. Chapter 4, verse 10 says this: let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. For Jesus, he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, by which he became the chief cornerstone. And I watch this. I love this. And there is salvation in no one else. I mean, you talk about digging deep. You got to put yourself in the shoes. Here, all they're doing is bragging about Jesus. All they're doing is doing these amazing works and miracles in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, that which the Jews hated, that which the scribes and Pharisees came against, that which the Sadducees just couldn't wait to get rid of Jesus at all costs, get rid of this guy. And then you've got these people who just believe in this guy, And they just keep coming around, and they just keep preaching this message, and God just keeps showing up with all these miracles, and they're just, listen, you got to put yourself in the shoes of Peter and John. They're bringing this thing out, and people aren't liking this. This isn't just a simple statement. This is a serious punch to their face. This is them with all confidence, with all boldness, knowing how could they do this? Because I know that I'm right. I saw that he was alive. You've heard that he was alive. Maybe you even saw that he was alive. And he is the one who God raised from the dead. And they're just pouring it on thicker and thicker and thicker. I love the confidence we've seen this. The righteous will be bold like a lion. Watch this, watch this, watch this. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible in Romans 1:16 says, you shall not be ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power to salvation for those who believe. Church, they were not ashamed. They were in a serious moment. In a serious season of persecution, in a serious time in history, that people were so against Jesus, so against the name of Jesus, so against anything that Jesus was ever about. And here they stood before the very ones who put Jesus to death. The very ones who had the power to put them to death. Say, it's only Jesus. And they just lay out this gospel. That you can be saved under no other name except his. So you see this confidence. And church, can I ask you, man, where is that boldness? Where is that confidence to begin to share Christ and to share the gospel? It really is a simple story. Maybe you're like, Sean, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, how did you receive it? How did you really come to that place of salvation? It's simple. Man fell. God loved. God gave his own son to take care of the sin issue, knowing that we're before a holy God, knowing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Just really going into a story, we're all swimming in the same pond of sin. Ain't nobody different. Everybody's equal. Everybody's sinned, but God loved everyone. And God took care of the sin issue. And he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross for you. And if you come to a place to believe in Jesus only as Savior and Lord, to know that he's a real person, to know that God loved you with such a love that he put his own son on a cross as a sacrifice to take care of your sin issue. If you would accept that, if you would believe that, and you'd call on Jesus' name for salvation, then you will be saved. Church, it's that simple. Come on. But what causes the confidence to do that? Because I know I'm right. I know Jesus is the only way. I know that there'll be many before the throne that will hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. Where's our boldness and where's our confidence? And we're told, I will not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto salvation for all who believe. And this is, I love this, because this is all they're doing, just giving them the gospel. Watch. Here's the big deal. We'll close in 2 minutes. This is the big deal right here. Please hear this. We see this confidence in Peter and John, and we see this stand that they make because they know that they're right. But remember, when you make that stand, there's people notice. People pay attention. Watch this. Now, as they observed, talking about the crowds, talking about the Jews, talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers, the high priests, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, look what they watched, look what they noticed. As they observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated, untrained men. I love this. It's not about your education. Why? I didn't even go to school. Well, I don't really have a source of training. It's not like I have And you could go down a whole list of what you don't have. And they're looking at this going, wow, these two, they're uneducated. They're not scholars. They're fishermen. It's not like they had everything memorized. They're fishermen. That's what they do. They're uneducated. They're the simplest of the simple. They throw a net in, catch fish. They're untrained. But watch. What did they notice? And they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. It wasn't the education. It's not the training. It's not your job application. It's not your job title. It's not your family title. You know what people need to recognize? That you have been with Jesus. And I know that Christ is in me. And I know that His Spirit reigns and dwells within me. And in that, there is a confidence to know that I will not be ashamed of the gospel. It's not my education. It's not my title. It's not because I'm a pastor. We were sharing the gospel way before we ever became a pastor. It has nothing to do with title. It has nothing to do with your name. It has nothing to do with your occupation. It has everything to do with you being recognized as been with Jesus. Notice this confidence in them. And they equated it to them being with Jesus. Come on, if you just close your eyes and we'll shut this thing down, man. I want you to hear this. Where's your confidence this morning? Where is your confidence today? Can you stand? In a sense, when you look at Proverbs 28, 1, it say the righteous, man, I want to walk right according to what God says is right. I want to live according to His standard, man. I want to bank to know that I'm right, not because of me, because of Him. Proverbs, I love this, Proverbs 30, 29 and 30. Let me just share this with you. It talks about the lion that is steady in his march, and it talks about a lion that, the word steady, it means that he is confident. He knows who he is. Then verse 30, it's great because it says that the lion is mighty among beasts and he will not retreat before any. The lion knows who he is and he refuses to retreat. You and I ought to know who we are. I am a child of God. I belong to Him in Christ. His Spirit is in me and I have the truth. I have what's right. And I will not retreat before any. I know who I am in Him. I know that He has best for me. I know that He is good. I know that He goes before me. I will not be afraid. He will fight for me. He is good. And you come to this place to know He's always to my right. He's always to my left. He's always before me. He goes behind me. His angels will be in charge concerning me. Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm in His hands. I know who I am in Christ. And I'm His. Having recognized has been with Jesus, can I just ask you, how much time do you spend with Jesus? Yes, His Spirit is in you, but how much time did you spend with Jesus? Morning after morning, afternoon, evening after evening, moment to moment, just your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, your decisions, your hearts, it's about Jesus. Do people recognize, please hear this, do people recognize that you've spent time with Jesus? Because there will be a confidence that boils up from that. There will be a swelling within your soul in that time that you spend with Jesus. Recognize His confidence. Father, we just ask God that we know this, that we get this, that God, we will walk in this confidence in You. But Jesus, it's about being recognized and spend time with You. We don't have the tangible, we don't get to see Your smile, we don't get to look in Your eyes like they did. We don't get to walk hand in hand, we don't get Your voice like they did. We don't get that. You're in us. by your Spirit, you reign in us. We have your word. We can spend time with you on our face. We can spend time with you in the car. We can spend time with you around the dinner table. We can spend time with you every moment. We can spend time because you're very present in our lives. We have so much more than they did. They only had you when they were around you. We have you forever, every moment, every inch, every second. You're with us. They didn't get that. They didn't have that. But we do. How much more then should we walk in a confidence? Church, in this moment, if you would just ask God, God, build a confidence in me. Help people to see Jesus in me. Desire to spend more time with you. I want to be recognized as having been with Jesus. And I want to be strong in the gospel. And I will not be ashamed of truth. I will not be ashamed.